This will be an interview about one of the campaigns of Friends of the Earth. And could you first tell me who you are and what you have to do with the organization?
Hello, I'm Ute Schimpf. I'm working with Friends of Europe in the food team.
The food team.
In the food team. And one of my main priorities is to campaign against the EU-US trade talks called also TTIP.
TTIP. Okay. But your Friends of the Earth is normally, I thought, mainly working about the environment, no?
Yes.
That's wrong?
We are an environmental organization with member groups all over Europe, and we see a lot of risks and threats if the TTIP would be concluded for our environmental legislation, but also how it would be impacted by realities.
Really? Tell me.
For example, TTIP, we see on the legislative level, this means how you make laws, how you decide about either on national level, on regional level, or on European level. We see a big threat that TTIP would result in a situation where whenever you come up with something stricter, with better rules, you could be stopped either by the European Commission or by the US government saying this would be a trade barrier and therefore we have different tools to block you deciding or at a later stage implementing this kind of regulations.
So that's a threat to democracy.
Yes, we see it as one of the biggest threats for our democracy, and this is the reason why we started campaigning against it in 2014.
Already? Yeah. So you're not just starting now?
No. I think from the European Federations in Brussels, we were one of the first ones starting campaigning on it.
Okay, I suppose you're not the only ones campaigning against
no,
it.
No, it's a really wide coalition, trade unions, consumers organizations, on a certain level also church groups or development organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of local diverse initiatives are active on this.
All over Europe?
All over Europe. I mean, the situation is very different in the different countries and mm-hmm. in the different regions, but it's a quite big campaign.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just wonder, are there also groups acting against this in the USA?
In the USA, the situation is slightly different because they are about to finalize the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
This is between the U.S. and several Pacific countries. So this is more on the spot in the U.S. debate at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But several of the NGOs also follow the negotiation with the European Union. But at the moment, they try to limit the harm caused by the Trans-Pacific Partnership
mm-hmm.
Agreement.
I see. Because if this is concluded, is it only bad for Europe or is it also bad for people in the U.S.A.?
I mean, it's hard to assess all details because it's still a scenario. Yeah? Nobody knows, even not the key negotiators know how the final agreement would look like. But we know what the plans are and what both sides are demanding.
Uh-huh.
And there are some parts of the legislations in the US are much stricter than they are in Europe. For example, for the banking sector, they have stricter rules than we have in Europe. They had better lessons learned after the banking crisis. And here in Europe, the banking lobby was stronger to block us. And then in other sectors, we have much higher rules and much better rules. For example, for food safety rules, the European standards are nearly everywhere much higher and better than in the US on European Union level.
Hmm.
And then there's also the question that for some kind of rules you can have on regional level or national level rights to come up with stricter legislation. And this is also one of the big questions, how this would be possible under TTIP.
Okay, so far everything is very vague then.
Yes, because nothing has been really excluded from the negotiations without some exemptions for the audiovisuals where the French government pushed for from the beginning. For all the rest, nothing is excluded. And a lot of these negotiations happen in complete dark, so we still don't know it. So at the moment, or before Christmas, I was in contact here with the European Commission about agricultural issues and asked them, we will publish a report. Can you please give me the name of farming sectors that you would look like? The report will be published probably in 4 or 5 weeks. And even this basic information, they know you need to wait until we get a final report. This is a bit ridiculous. I mean, I didn't ask for the conclusions. I didn't ask for details. I just asked, give me the name of the sectors. Is it dairy? Is it beef?
But is it legal? Is this way of working legal?
I was seriously annoyed about it.
I mean,
wondering if I would accept it. To a certain level, this is just a study. I mean, a study can be prepared confidentially, but I don't think it's wise to tell nobody in Europe what you are working on. And then you just create facts. And we had similar developments, I mean, with a commission started more or less 2 years ago. We have now another commissioner in charge of trade issues. She's Swedish, Commissioner Malmström. And she said she wants to have more transparency, and the commission is publishing more. But very often what you can see on the website, you don't know if this is the text that we actually still negotiate on or if it's an outdated version. And you can only find the texts that the EU Commission wants to see as a final outcome of the negotiations. And nobody in Europe from the civil society has seen a single word how the US sees the outcome.
Aha. Which would also be quite interesting.
Yeah, because various areas, they have completely different ideas how you make your laws. I mean, for us, what is so interesting about TTIP, or what is so makes us so nervous, is the issue, even the way how you decide about a law is part of TTIP. And we have completely different systems and a different history in the US and the EU. And I don't say in each case the EU system is better, but it's a question why you should change the ways how you decide about laws by a trade agreement.
And who decides to change those ways?
Exactly. This is exactly the way. At the moment, especially for these technical details, it sounds so boring. To give you an example, the question how much is it possible that the food is contaminated with certain pesticides? This is quite a technical discussion. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And at the moment, you bring in the national experts from the official experts, and they take a decision together with the commission. And now the commission is suggesting that this kind of technical decision should be aligned with the US way of doing it. And then our understanding is it would be the trade expert, but not necessarily the pesticide experts. And here we see this general trend to give more and more priority and more power to the trade people in the commission and to take it away from the real experts on the issues in the government on national level.
So that doesn't sound very good.
No, it sounds horrible.
Okay, so that's your job, to prevent this from happening.
I mean, what we are really doing is that we are organizing events, we have internal meetings, we produce different kind of leaflets or background reports, so people can understand what is really at stake if TTIP would be concluded.
Yes, so that's the educational part of what your organization is doing.
Yeah.
So, and that's why Paul is coming to Antwerp Monday night to talk about it. But you also work then as a kind of lobby group, you try to influence decisions.
Yes, we also have from time to time lobby meetings with people in the European Parliament or with people in the Commission or with people, this is mainly done by our member groups, also with people working on national level in the authorities, in the ministries, in the governments. Because the current situation is that the people in the ministries are much more often consulted about all technical details than the people in the parliament, either on national level or on European level. So we think it's important for us, and this is what we are planning in 2016, to get more in contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, even with some governments where we don't have a lot in common, this question, if they are willing to give the power to the trade experts in the commission and to reduce their own freedom to decide about the rules in their own country or at least on European level, I think this will be an interesting discussion.
Now, those experts you talked about, so in your instance, those were the experts on pesticides, yes? Don't they protest?
I don't think they're informed about it.
And you can't just send them an email telling them, hi, your work is going to be disregarded from now on?
I mean, we heard, but again, it's not transparent. We got some leads, from some minutes, from some internal meetings, that several governments understand that this is a very risky development for their own interests. And this is not about the question if they are for more trade with the US or not. But they start understanding to say, okay, if we really give all this power and give a commission a green light to continue negotiation this way, we will lose some power. So we assume that the text that is published on the commission website is not the one that is actually negotiated anymore. But I can't go to a meeting and say, here I have a leaked minute, can you please confirm that this is the case and you work? You tell the public that you work on a text which is actually outdated. So it's a bit, it's really not easy to understand the dynamics. And very often, I mean, these are civil servants. They are experts on some pesticide thresholds. They don't necessarily closely follow the trade negotiations. So it's also important to find the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also convinced if you want to have this pressure on the governments, they need to be faced with a movement, seeing, telling them, we don't want you to go ahead with this.
And there we come in. We, the people.
Exactly.
But we are not alone. We are held by a beautiful horse.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
We made a Trojan horse.
Because, a Trojan horse, yes.
Because we see this treaty. In the beginning, our trade experts and the commission told us, the TTIP, it will bring us jobs and growth and welfare for the whole society.
Paradise.
Yeah, paradise. And we see this as a Trojan treaty. By promoting this and telling this would be the case, in reality, it endangers jobs, it endangers employment, it's a harm for the environment, a harm. There's a huge risk for our planet, and it's not in the interest of the people. And it gives more priority for the interest of a business and the profits on the costs for
so
the people and the environment.
It looks beautiful, but we shouldn't take it in.
Yeah. So this is the reason why we created this big inflatable Trojan horse.
Inflatable?
Yeah.
So nobody can get inside.
Nobody can get inside. We discussed this, but this was technically too complex.
It's not wooden, it's inflatable.
No.
And how big is it?
I think it's around 5 meters high.
And
it toured sometimes in Flanders already.
It did.
I think in September. It was for sure in Ghent for several days. It was several times in Brussels. It was also in Spain, in Estonia, in Finland, Austria, Croatia. So it's traveling all over Europe.
And it's one horse. You don't.
Now we have two.
Okay.
Because our member groups were so keen to have a horse, so we decided we made a second one.
So there are two horses going through Europe.
Yes.
So and what happens then? The horse simply.
It depends on the local group. If the local groups have a horse at their place, it depends on them. Sometimes they use it for festivals, sometimes they use it for press conferences. You can also use it for collecting signatures on a marketplace in the city. It really depends what people want to do. They used it also for bigger demonstrations in Berlin and in London. It's really up to the local groups to decide how they see it fits to their campaign, what is it's necessary in the specific situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or just to alert people that something is going on, because not everybody has heard about TTIP.
No, that's true. But there was a big demonstration in Berlin, wasn't there?
Yes, there was in October a very big demonstration in Berlin.
And what do you call a very big demonstration in Berlin?
It was 500,000 people.
I think
it was the biggest demonstration for decades.
Huh.
Yeah, and it was quite surprisingly, because the German government is definitely in favor. And to bring so many people to a capital to say we don't want this trade agreement, this was really a huge success of our German colleagues and the German movements.
I think there's quite a strong environmental movement in Germany, isn't there?
Yeah, a strong environmental movement, a strong food movement, and the TTIP movement in Germany is also very strong and very impressive.
The TTIP, the anti...
So just an anecdote, was it 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago that the US embassy said they were looking for some recommendations for cool pro-TTIP slogans, and they offered some money for NGOs who would come with a good slogan. And I think if the US embassy is coming up with such an idea, it's a clear signal that the movement is very successful.
I don't think I quite understood. So they wanted a pro...
No, the US embassy had a kind of... were running a campaign and saying, dear German NGOs, if you come up with good slogans, why TTIP is a positive thing, you will get some money from us. You'll get a kind of prize, kind of award.
But nobody came up with it.
I never heard that anybody participated, but we noticed that this decision from the US embassy to come up with such a proposal, for us, it's clearly underlining that the German movement against TTIP is very strong.
Uh-huh. And that you think you have a good communication strategy.
Yeah. Yeah. But German media are also quite critical about TTIP.
Really? You don't hear much about it here in Belgium, do you? I mean, I don't know if you follow Belgian media. But...
I mean, it really depends. The situation in Europe is really diverse. And things can develop very fast. From nobody has heard about it, and then you have something. you have one media show, one TV show about it, or you have one big mobilization, and then immediately people start getting interested. And you have countries where hardly anybody from the citizens have heard about it. So it's quite diverse in Europe, and the situation is different in every country.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in Germany, it started quite early. I think it started really, really early, maybe even end of 2012, the discussion about TTIP. Or the other country where it started much later was in the Netherlands. And then they had it twice in a quite popular Sunday evening TV show. And then you can see in all opinion polls the impact of this. And they also had a quite big demonstration in October. I think they had 7,000 or 8,000 people on the street, which was also quite good for the Netherlands. So, and it all developed within a few months. So, but this is why it's for us sometimes challenging to find the European-wide approach, because the situation is so different.
Mm-hmm.
And also what people really care about. So in the UK, for example, they started their campaigning about the threat for their national health service. This is a really hot issue for people in the UK. Everybody has opinions about it.
Mm-hmm.
And in other countries, it would be something different. It would be for, in Austria, it would be the question on Hungary, if it can remain free of genetically modified food and crops. So you need to find the right approach.
Mm-hmm. So you are working on the European level. Do you help local organizations to exchange good practices or ideas? Or
I mean, we are involved in all kind of networks and platforms and coalition. So one important part are our national member groups, mm-hmm. and they then would work either in the national anti-TTIP platform or with their local member groups, depending on the structure. In addition to this, there's a wider European movement, and we have regular meetings and regular phone calls with a lot of national groups normally attending, and then it's up to national coalitions, which we have, I would say, at least half of the European countries, to develop their ideas, to decide in which activities they want to take part or what's the best.
And then they can ask for the host to come.
Yes. We started with the capitals, and now I think we move more to
mm-hmm.
other cities or to smaller cities.
Any actions or interesting moments on the agenda here in Belgium for the months to come, apart from on the evening in Antwerp or on the European level?
I mean, the next thing here in Brussels on the European level is there will be another civil society meeting from the 22nd to the 24th of February here in Brussels, and normally also Belgian representatives are participating. And I haven't really heard a full plan what is coming in the next months. It's mm-hmm. a very lively movement with the tendency to take ad hoc decisions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do keep us posted about it, and thank you for your time.